Take your holy book. Turn to Joshua chapter number 10. Joshua chapter number 10. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done it to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because of it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhatha, king of Lachish, and unto Debar, king of Eglon, saying, Come up to me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, and the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their host, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the men of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with the great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way but that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. This spake Joshua to the Lord in the day, when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in the cave of Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, The five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah. And Joshua said, Roll great stones upon the face of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. I won't preach on this thought tonight. What if your only option was fighting against God? The only option was fighting against God. Wouldn't that be a sad state of affairs if that's the only option that you had? But we see this in your hearing today, that the king of Jerusalem, he was the leader. Now you think he had had more sense in this, but he decides that instead of just doing what's right and seeing the mighty hand of God and the power of that hand, instead of doing right and doing circumspectly with God, he begins to call these other kings together to try to even fight against God. What a foolish gesture it is when people rise up and fight against God. You say, people, that's a preacher, that's just crazy. Why would anybody want to do it? I don't know. Why do we do it today? Why does people all over this country tend to want to rise up and rebel and fight against God? To do those things, it's contrary to what he says, and knowingly do them, those things, it's contrary. But we see this king here, he rose up, And this king is a kind of a type like a Melchizedek. This king was doesn't show any beginning or any end in his life. But he rose up and he begins to, you might say he's kind of like an anti-type of Melchizedek. He rises up and he begins to get a conglomerate of other kings together to try to come against the nation of Israel. Now, have you ever noticed how a lot of times those that want to come against God, they choose to come a route by coming against God's people? They figure if they can sidetrack God's people, that they can keep other people from getting to God, and they can keep God from getting to other people. Amen? But we got to be careful, praise God, because we want to be found on the right side of God. When it's all said and done, when it's all finished, we want to be on the right side. But we see this playing out, and we see this king. He calls these other five kings, and they rush up to him, and he gives them the reason. He said, in verse number 2, he said that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, and as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai. See, Ai didn't stand a chance. Israel come in and they wiped them out. Amen? You see, when Israel come into the promised land, they crossed the Jordan right into almost into the center of the promised land, and right before them was a mighty city called Jericho. Amen? And they come up on the other shore, and the first thing they did said, we're going to go against this mighty city, Jericho. And God says, well, said, you're not going to, I'm going to. He said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give it to you, praise God, for an inheritance. And said, what I want you to do is just march around. You know the story. And so they started out day by day. The first day they marched one lap around Jericho. The second day they marched a lap around. But then the seventh day they marched around seven times. And when they told them to shout, said they rose up and they shouted and blowed with the trumpets, and the walls of Jericho fell down flat, and they went straight in, praise God, and done what they needed to do. Now that wasn't the Israel that done that. That was the God of Israel that did that. Amen? God of Israel is always the one who can give you victory. You can count on Him, praise God, to be there. But we see Israel as they go in, and you know the story of the Gibeonites. They come before Israel, and they come like they were beggars in their, and they made themselves as if they had been on a long journey, and they side with Israel. Amen. They must have been somebody on that side, the Gibeonites. They must have had some of the people that had enough common sense to realize that, hey, if the Red Sea can't stop them, If the Jordan at harvest time, when it's out of its bank, can't stop them, if Jericho and the great fortified walls of it can't slow them down, then instead of fighting with them, we might as well side with them. Amen? Hey, listen, I tell you, day and hour we live, we can't fight against God. We might as well side with Him. Amen? As the old saying goes, I think I'll just go with God. Praise the Lord. Because He always gives the victory. So they line up against the Gibeonites, the city of Gibeah, and they come down to siege the city. And the Gibeonites, they rise up themselves, and they cry out as one man. And listen what it said in verse number 6, and the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly, and save us, and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. Amen? So the Gibeonites, they cry out to Israel. Now, the Gibeonites had promised that, hey, so if you'll just take us in, let us dwell amongst you. Hey, we don't ask you for nothing. We will be your servants. He said, we'll get you kindling for you. We'll draw you water for you. That's all we ask. Amen? We don't want any special favors. We will be your servants. But can you imagine this? I thought about this today. Amen. Running to and fro. Can you imagine a servant commanding, praise God, the master to do something for you? Amen. It doesn't say that hey, set somebody down and ask them nicely if you'll come up and help us. He said they commanded them. Amen. He said, take not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. Amen. So you got the servant commanding the master, say, hey, listen, you don't slag, don't let up. He said, come up and help us. Amen. What would a master do when a servant is commanding? Amen. But what did God do? Praise God. God begins to bless. I praise God. When you make an agreement with your enemy, what was Israel to do? They had done made the agreement. They had done promised that they would. So they had created, when you do that, you create problems for yourself. When you start making an agreement with your enemy. Amen. The secret is never make an agreement with your enemy. Amen. Praise God. Don't ever make them any promises with your enemy. Amen. Praise the Lord. They're having to defend the very people that they should have already defeated. Amen. God told them, go into land and defeat them all. Amen. Go in and defeat all. Take it all. So now they've made an agreement. Amen. Sometimes you ain't very careful, we'll make an agreement with the devil. Hello? I think in America, we've done that several times. We've made agreements with the devil. And when you make agreements with the devil, then you have hell to pay. Amen? We've got to be very careful how the agreements that we make. So here they've made this agreement. They've created a problem for themselves. And now they've got to defend the very people that they made the agreement with. Amen? It would have been just for God just to say, okay, you know, you've done this. You're on your own. Amen? Just do what you can. It's up to you to get yourself out of this. But God didn't do that. Amen? Look what he said. So Joshua, verse number 7, ascended from Gilgal. He and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. So Joshua rises up, praise God, and he heads out to try and defend these people. Amen? Praise God. And begins to bless them. And so the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. Amen. That delivered them, that means it's past tense. God said, it's as if it's already been done. Amen. So he tells Joshua, said, hey, listen, I have delivered them into your hands. He said, I've already gone for you, so I'm going to take care of this for you. Even though you made a mess, he said, I'm going to help you fix it. Ain't you glad when you make a big old mess that God will come in beside you and help you fix it? How many times in life have you made a big mess and the good Lord have to come in beside you and help you fix it? Oh me, lots of times in my life I've made a mess of things and the Lord had to come alongside and just say, hey, scoot over, son. Let me just help you here a little bit. Let me see what I got to do to help you fix this. Amen. And he had always done a whole lot better helping me fix it, praise God, than I could ever done by myself. So instead of being discouraging, praise God, he offers encouragement to them. He said, I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. So what good news, praise God. They had an incentive to go up. In other words, what God's telling here, that he fought for them. That the God of heaven, he fought for them from heaven. Ain't that what God does for us today? He fights a good fight of faith for us from heaven. Amen. He's on our side. He's doing that for us that we need him to do. The Bible says in verse number 10, the Lord discomfited them from before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them at Azekiah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel. Now watch this. This is amazing. And were into going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah. And they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Can you imagine this taking place? So here, Israel's a fighting for them. God's a fighting for Israel. Praise God. The Gibeonites ask for help, and what does God do? He don't just send Israel, praise God, but He sends the power of an almighty God. Amen. God begins to do battle for them. Amen. Praise His name. So so heaven's a fighting for these people. Amen. And Joshua, he calls out to the Lord. Amen. As he's a fighting in the battle. And Joshua, verse number 12, he prays to the Lord. And God heard him. So then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand still. Thou shalt stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Amen? So we see God, He heard their prayer. He heard Joshua's prayer as they're praying in battle. And now listen to what he said, verse number 12. Watch what he says. Amen. Verse number 14. And there was no day like that day, before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. He says, there's never been a day that the Lord would actually hear and hearken to the voice of a man. Joshua was just a human being just like me and you. But Joshua was about doing the Father's business. He was trying about working for the Lord, about doing what was right. Amen. And he called out to the Lord. He prayed to God. And God, one man, praise God, his prayer made a difference. The old devil will tell us today, you know, it won't matter whether you pray or not. It won't make a difference. I want to tell you, don't tell Joshua that, because he prayed. God heard his prayer, praise God, and it made a difference. Amen. God, he made a difference. He's never been a prayer answered like that prayer was answered that day. He asked for the sun to stand still and the moon to be stayed. And God did it. Amen. Now you got to think about that in the world that we live in. Now this was the main event, you might say. See, the Canaanites were worshipers of the heavenly host, but not the true God, Jehovah of heaven. They worshiped all the hosts of heaven. Amen. Because can you imagine what took place when this happened? They said the sun stood still and the moon stood still. Now let me ask you a question. Anybody knows anything about science? Does the sun and the moon actually move? No. The sun and the moon, they're stationary. Amen. You say, well, no, it isn't, because the sun goes up and the sun comes down. The sun goes down and the sun comes up. The moon goes up and the sun goes. No. The sun and the moon, they stay in orbit where they're at. They stay where God put them. But God created a little speck of dust called earth, and he started a long time ago a spinning, praise God, and it's still spinning today. Amen. We was talking about at lunch with the little old boys out there at the Christian school, and they was talking about in class how the sun, and how it just continues to glow and glow and glow, to burn and burn, but it never burns up. That's because God did that. He put it up there so that it would be the light, praise God, to a world. A light by day and the moon by night. And the earth would spin around, praise God, so we could have day and night. Amen? And so we see this happening, and we see the earth is spinning around. But we see there was a circumstance when Joshua was needing some time for battle. He was needing some time from deliverance from the sun and from the moon, from the elements changing. And he asked God, and God heard him. That makes you wonder. The Bible says that Joshua heard the plea of the Gibeonites, and he heeded that call. And God told him, he said, hey, listen, don't be afraid of them. He said, I've delivered them in your hands. And he said, there shall man stand, shall not a man of them stand before thee. Verse number 9, now watch what it says. And Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgad all night. So you see what happens? They get the call from the Gibeonites. And Joshua says, okay, said, it's late afternoon. He said, fellas, get together, get all of our armor together, get your battle array. He said, praise God, we're going to go help the Gibeonites. Amen. They didn't argue. They didn't try to figure it out and say, you know, well, come morning, we're going to go. No, he said, praise God, we're going to go right now. God said, this thing needs to be done. He said, God's already delivered it. And so he sets out and they travel all night long from Gilgal to where the Gibeonites live. Praise God. So when it come morning, when it come daylight, they were there ready to set in the battle in array and do what God would have them to do. Amen. Traveled all night. Now, if you figure out the distance, I said probably between 20 and 25 miles, and it was a uphill climb. Amen. They went from kind of down in the valley up into the mountain. That's where Gibeon was. Amen. And so the kings that was coming against them was the kings of the mountains. Amen. The king of Jerusalem. That you go over there, that's as high as you can get. Amen. Am I right? No matter if you come north, south, east, or west, if you go to Jerusalem, you climb up to it. It's the top of a pinnacle. Amen. Glory to God. Ain't that something? Where God would put His holy city. Praise the Lord. But so they traverse all night. They travel all night. And the next day they begin to battle. And God begins to beat down these folks' sore and begins to give them victory. Amen. And Joshua is so excited about what God's doing. Amen. It ought to be like us today. We ought to be so excited about what God's doing when He's doing it. I pray God that we don't want to quit. We don't want to back up. But we want to just keep pressing on. Amen. So we see them as they begin to fight the battle. And the Bible says that God begins to fight for them. And they begin to chase them. The people begin to run. And they're going down to Beth Horon, and the Lord begins to cast down great stones from heaven upon them. Amen. So can you imagine what's happening here? These kings of the north, praise God, which worship all the hosts of heaven, they see all of a sudden this man Joshua and the nation of Israel, those that say that they serve a true and a living God, that they've seen a move, praise God, from Egypt through the Red Sea. They've seen a move through the cross of Jordan. They've seen them destroy Jericho and Ai. And now they're coming for them. Joshua prays a great prayer unto the Lord. He said, Lord, we're gaining, we're getting victory. Praise God, don't let it stop now. God, just give us a little bit more day. Praise God, give us a little bit more time. Amen. So, Lord, so they traveled all night and they probably wore out. You hump it about 20 miles, 20, 25 miles all night long without any rest to try to get somewhere to work for God. Amen. The next day, you're going to be pretty tired. And they've done fought all day. They've fought a violent fight, praise God. They stayed the course. They haven't quit. They haven't given up, praise the Lord. Even though they're tired and they're wore out. And the sun's are beating down on them. What did God ask? Hey, I believe the Lord, Joshua, asked God. He said, Lord, would you please just stay this sun for a little while so it's not a cooking us down here on this earth. Praise God, just give us a little bit of reprieve. Praise God, so we can continue to fight for you. Amen. So God took the... you say, well, preacher, where did these hailstones come from? I don't know if we figure that the sun and the moon are stationary in heaven. The only thing that could have slowed down would have been the earth. Amen. So what happens when the earth slows down? What would happen if the earth stopped? Could you imagine? I guess we would lose gravity. Things would begin to maybe fly around, or I don't know. We don't know what took place. God doesn't elaborate on it a whole lot. But we see something major that took here, that the Holy Spirit, hey, we'll have to ask Jesus about this one day. Amen. When we get to heaven, Scientists have tried to study. When they study time through centuries, they come down to a point, and there's a day and a time span that's missing. And they couldn't figure it out, but somebody that knew his Bible, he said, "Hey, you know what? I can fill in the blanks." He said there was a day when God stopped the sun from moving, and he's talking about the time of Joshua, and he said there was a time when Hezekiah asked God, and God moved time back. See, Hezekiah said, "Hey, it'd be an easy thing to move time forward." He said, "But how about moving time back 15 degrees? And said, God moved it back 15 degrees. That was the time frame that the scientists couldn't figure out for to make it all fit. But praise God, the Bible says that God did that. You say, "Well, preacher, ain't no way that could happen." Praise God. God that created the heavens and the universe, praise God, can do anything He wants to. Amen. And He did. So you see these Canaanites. I just want you to picture this now. See these Canaanites here and they're heavenly bodies. I can see that they're impressed greatly by what's taking place. They were probably in great awe, praise God, and probably discouraged at the same time. Because there's something happening here, praise God, that there's no way, no how that they can explain. Amen. Hey, me, you, or anybody else can't explain who God is. He is God, praise God. A great and mighty God. And we see in this text how that prayer, praise God, has tremendous power. When we pray and believe God, the power of God can be manifest. It can be unharnessed for us, just like it was for Joshua. The power that was needed for him to get the job done to bring God glory. Now, if God would do that for Joshua, then God, the same God, can do that for you and me if we believe. Amen? The same one can do that for me and you if we only believe. Praise God. But we see what begins to take place, it began as a humiliating defense maneuver. You know, to go up and help these people that you done made a promise to, and you can't renege on your promise. So you're just going to have to go up and do best you can, praise God, to fulfill your promise to these people. But it ended up in a glorious series, praise God, of victories for the nation of Israel. They went in and they went to the south and got victories, and they went to the north and got victories. Praise be to God. Amen? With the help of the Lord, God did that. Hey, the old proverbial in Romans chapter 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? God is in control. And when we trust Him and we believe that He can, that He will, that He wants to, He can do great and mighty things, praise God, that we never even dreamt of. Praise the Lord. Amen. You say, "Well, preacher, what will you do when God does that?" Amen. Praise God. Hey, we'll just stay on the side that's not opposed to God. We'll be found on the side that's not trying to fight against God. But we're going to be on the side that's fighting with God. Amen. That makes all the difference. Praise God. And when it comes down to it, Joshua begins to praise God and give Him the glory. Joshua didn't take credit for none of it himself. Amen. Joshua gave God all the glory. Verse number 14, look what it says. "And there was no day like that before or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." God got the glory. Amen. Joshua didn't say, "Look what I did." Hey, praise God. He gave God the glory for what God had did. God made him a promise. God said He'd be there with him. God said He would help him, and He did. He gave him the victory. Praise the Lord. He gave him the victory. Look at verse number 19. He said, "Stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them." I mean, just keep. Hey, he said, just stay after your enemies. Pray the Lord. He said, "Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand." There's that "hath delivered" again. He said, "It's a done deal. Just stay after it." Praise God. Because you are the victors. Just like you and I today. We just stay after it, praise God, because we are victors in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're winners. Either way, no matter what happens, we are the winners. You know, we go through all the little adverse things in our life and the little fretful things and the worrying things that we worry about so much. But praise God, if you're a child of God, if you belong to Him, hey man, that's just a water under the bridge, because God says, I've got you. I'm going to take care of you, and everything's going to be all right. Amen? Everything will be just fine. Praise the Lord. He said, because God is going to take care of you. He said, the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hands. Praise God. He says it done well. So we see here that these five armies that comes against him, God Almighty goes and just boom, one right after another, he defeats them. Now notice something else. If you read on over in here, Joshua didn't take time, because Joshua was on a winning streak. He was a pushing ahead and he was getting victories. He never took time to stop and occupy these cities as he went. He went through and took care of the opposition first. Amen? He took care of all these kings, all those that would rise up against God Almighty. All those that would try to put down, praise God, the rule, the reign of God Almighty. And he utterly defeated them. Amen? I'll tell you today, anything, anybody, anyone that tries to stand against God Almighty will be defeated. They will face defeat. But then God circles back around in verses 28 through 43, and he begins to give victory. And God marches Joshua back through here. And he goes back through to city by city, one city at a time. And he goes in, praise God, and he begins to take possession. Amen. He fights against this city, and he fights against the next city, and he just keeps moving on. The Bible says, verse number 30, and the Lord delivered it also. Talking about Libna and Makeda, praise God. He begins to liberate them. He begins to give them Lachish and these other cities. He begins to give them Gezer, and praise God. He begins to give them Eglon. He begins to let them take these cities that they didn't occupy when they come through. But he begins to go back, and he begins to occupy these places. Why? Because God had given them to him. Amen. Those that had fought against God Almighty, they had been defeated. God said, they're a defeated foe. He said, preacher, why didn't he stop each one? Why didn't he? Because he didn't need to. God had already gave them victory. Amen. Just like you and I tonight, praise God, we already have victory over death and the grave, praise God. We don't have to keep fighting that old battle day after day. We are the victors in Jesus Christ our Savior. Praise God, we are winners. Amen. We've won. Praise God. When old devil tries to defeat you and tries to say, yeah, I said, you know you ain't doing too good. Say, yeah, you may be right, old devil, but praise God, you ain't looking too good yourself. Amen. Hey, don't look to me like you got much of a future before you. But praise God, I've got a glorious future ahead of me. Praise God. So they go back through and they possess these cities as they go. Praise God, these that had opposed God, that thought they could fight with God, fight against God, fight against God's people and be victors. They ended up in the, as the old thing you say, the agony of defeat. Amen. You remember that thing used to be on the wide world of sports? They used to have a thing, they said victory, and they had this old fellow was going off a ski jump and he messed up and lost his sight, and he ended up falling, and he got busted up. Amen. They showed that for years and years on the wide world of sports. The agony of defeat. That's what happens when you fight against God. I mean, when you get on the wrong side, praise the Lord, all you end up is in the agony of defeat. But praise God, when you fight on the right side, God said, hey, listen, said, when you fight for me, when you fight with me, he said, I'll fight for you. Amen. And he proved it to them. He said over here in verse number 11, he said in And that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Amen. So in closing, we say this, these Canaanites, I guarantee you before it's all said and done, they realized that there was a God in heaven. That there was a true God in Israel. But a lot of people in the world today are going to recognize and realize that when it's too late. Amen. We need to recognize, realize that, praise God, not to fight against God, but fight with God, because there is a true and a living God. Amen. And there is a Savior, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. And there's a sweet spirit that'll move into our souls and help us and comfort us, praise God, that we can only imagine that we could ever have anything like that. But God puts it in there, praise God, for us. He manifests it to us. Amen. Manifest it to us so we can see it. Because Jesus Christ Himself said, I'm going to send you another comforter, a consoler, who will be there with you, who will help you through every adverse situation that you'll find. So you don't have to go through it again, all by yourself. But God will be there, praise God, to deliver you, to help you to get through it, even for His own glory. He said, the Lord says, I'm going to go. And says, He said, I have delivered them into thine hand. Amen. God said, hey, listen, He said, He's delivered it into our hands. We just got to receive the deliverance. Deliverance is Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. He is the deliverer. Praise God. And He's delivered us into the hands of an almighty God. Amen. God delivered these Canaanites into the hands of defeat. God delivered His people into the hands of victory. Amen. That's what God's got for us. Now, He delivers us into the hands of victory. So we can shout the praises of God all the way to the house. Amen. I'm glad I'll take option number two, please. I'm just going to go with God. I don't want to be found to fight against God. Ain't that what Gamaliel told them when they was talking about beating the disciples? And Gamaliel said, hey, listen, hey, you be found even to fight against God. He said, if this thing be real, amen, what they're saying about the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, His resurrection, he said, if that's real, and you go against it, then you will be found even to fight against God. Common sense. It makes sense. Amen? You either go with God or you fight against Him. And I won't tell you, if you fight against God, you're not going to win. But if you go with God, praise God, you've already been given the victory in Jesus Christ your Lord. I think I'll just go with God. How about you? Amen?